Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. The season is over. Just a absolutely heartbreaking, devastating loss to the Dodgers in Game 4, losing 2-1 in 11 innings. Just can't make it up. And I almost don't even know where to start here because, you know, you put everything into the season just in terms of watching and being a fan and following the team on a day-to-day basis. And you know, I love baseball, so it's something that, you know, gives me pleasure, gives me joy. I enjoy watching the Phillies on a night-to-night basis, and it's something that no matter what the state of the team is, no matter what they did the year before, no matter what the outlook of the team is in terms of the roster, like, I'm going to watch on a night-in, night-out basis, and that's just how, you know, I am as a fan. But when you put in all that time, and then it ends like that, the way it does on the Kirkering throw last night, it's devastating, and there's nothing else really to say besides the fact that, you know, we are now through, you know, 22, 23, 24, 25, 4 years of this core going to the postseason now, and it seems like while in the regular season they're taking steps up and it seems like they're getting better and better in terms of the roster every year, there is obviously a theme at this point, and that is the lineup coming up short in the postseason, some great starting pitching, but it just feels like the bats go cold when it matters most. And there's kind of no getting around that at this point. And look, I will get into some of the, you know, things that help contribute to that. And it was definitely a series where we saw a lot of things that we've seen over the past few years, but just a really, really tough way to end the season, that's for sure. And going back to the Kirkering thing, you feel for the kid. Like, he's a 24-year-old guy. I'm 25, and I couldn't imagine, you know, what he has to deal with right now in terms of, you know, he has to live with that play for an entire offseason. And it's something where, you know, obviously the pressure of the moment just got to him and he's bobbling the ball after it's hit to him. He did his job as a pitcher. He induced weak contact and was about to get out of the inning. And, you know, he had a brain fart at the worst possible time. And again, it's something where I hope people take it easy on him because he is a good pitcher, and I understand that he hasn't had the command that he's had over the past few months hasn't been where he's wanted it to be, but he still had a really good year in terms of the numbers, and he obviously, you know, feels worse probably than anybody right now. And to his credit, he stood up in front of the media last night, answered every single question, and it's something where at the end of the day, he's not the reason that they lost. Like, they scored one run in 11 innings. The top three, aside from game three, were absolutely dreadful in terms of, you know, Turner, Schwarber, and Harper. So that wasn't good. And it's not Orion Kirkering's fault that the Phillies did not move on past the NLDS. So I leave this series feeling much different, I think, than last year. Last year, it was more anger in terms of the lineup and just the terms of the feeble at-bats that we saw against the Mets, and it just felt like that the core, like, I was much more willing to break up the core after last year, I felt like, than I am this year. Like, tweaks are going to have to get made, and tweaks are absolutely going to get made. We're going to have the perennial Alec Boehm trade conversations, Zach Wheeler. We're going to have to see what his offseason looks like after he got his surgery for thoracic outlet syndrome, and of course, they have a bunch of free agents here. Kyle Schwarber, JT, Ranger, you know, Harrison Bader now. Just what are the are those guys going to be Phillies next year? And there's definitely a lot of questions to be asked. And look, we'll get to more of them as the offseason goes on, because you know, we'll still be here every week doing the podcast. But it just feels like there's got to be some sort of tweaks that are made, because you can't have four postseasons like this and it be very, very similar the way you go out every year and nothing really changes there. And look, I thought it was a very up and down series for Rob Thomson, who, again, I don't think it was Rob Thomson's fault. I think he made a couple crucial mistakes that did end up hurting them in some of these games, like in game one, you know, throwing Robertson back out there after, you know, he gets a big out, and then ultimately Strom comes in and gives up the three-run homer to Teoscar. Like, I'll bring it back to the Mets series last year, because I don't think they got smoked by the Dodgers. Like, they were in every single game, and they had the ability to win every single game in the series. Last year against the Mets, it felt like, you know, the Mets were the better team, and they had no shot, and they were struggling for 3 months, and it just felt, everyone knew where that season was going. Like, going into game four last night, I felt so good about this baseball team, and felt like they had the pitching matchup that they wanted, even though, you know, Tyler Glasnow was unbelievable last night. But what more can you say about Chris Sanchez? Just an unbelievable game, and ultimately ends up getting screwed on that non-strike three call, where it umpire apparently told him after the game that he missed it and it should have been strike three, and he would have been out of that inning where they end up giving up the run. You've Joan Duran, who has not like walked in a guy forever, and he ends up walking somebody in once they brought him in, and Christopher Sanchez was out of the game. So it's just a lot of crazy stuff that happened last night that ultimately ended up being, you know, to their demise, and it was all wrapped up by the Kirk ring play. So really, really tough. I'm going to get into the lineup, get into the staff, get into the bullpen like I always do, and just a little glimpse of what the offseason might look like for this baseball team. But, man, it's just, it's a tough day. Like, it is probably the toughest end to a Philly season since the Howard Achilles in 2011, to where you're just stunned and I didn't want to believe it. I was like, there's no way that the season ends this way. There's no way that a 96-win baseball team that looked just so good all year and was so fun to watch and had so many great moments, like, that's the way it ends. And you're in disbelief. You wake up this morning and you think to yourself, like, there's no way that happened last night. And unfortunately, it did. And we're going to have to go through another offseason of asking a lot of questions about this lineup, a lot of questions about the manager, and even Dave Dombrowski, who probably had the best trade deadline, or definitely, I think, had the best trade deadline during his tenure as Phillies president of baseball operations. And it ended up not coming to fruition in the end in terms of getting the team over the hump and getting them to the World Series. And, I mean, the Harrison Bader injury definitely played a part in that as well. Like, the fact that they had Brandon Marsh in center field, who he's a great left fielder, don't get me wrong, but some of the routes he took in center field, including, you know, diving for that ball, just brutal. But, you know, Aaron Nola, who, again, can't say enough about the starting staff. Like, Aaron Nola, Ranger Suarez, what a performance in game three to get it to a game four. Luzardo coming in last night, you know, channeling his inner Madison Bumgarner, was awesome. And I'm really excited to see the next step of Jesus Luzardo, because I think he's just getting better and better and better. And the way he finished out the year was really encouraging after he struggled, what was it, in June, where he gave up the two games where it was like 20 earned runs combined. Like, awesome stuff from Jesus Luzardo. And Chris Sanchez, what more can you say, really took on that role of being the ace of the staff when Zach Wheeler goes down with the blood clot. So great stuff from the starting staff, and that was really what carried this team all year. And the fact that they didn't have Zach Wheeler and a lot of those guys stepped up in different ways, even Taiwan, who, you know, as much crap as we like to give Taiwan, he, you know, had probably the best year in terms of numbers as a Philly this year and kind of took on whatever role they asked him to do. So great stuff from the starting staff this year. You really can't say much more about them than that, but just a tough, tough way to end it, really. And just to get into the lineup real quick, I think I mentioned it earlier, the Turner, Harper, Schwarber thing was, once again, probably the demise of the team this year. And, you know, Kyle Schwarber is going to get a lot of money in the offseason. I still want him to be a Philly. Like, there's no doubt about that. But there's no doubt that he struggled in the postseason again this year, just like he did last year. And in order for me to feel comfortable giving Kyle Schwarber a long-term contract, I have to know that he's going to be able to produce in the postseason a little bit. And he had an unbelievable Game 3, something that I thought would maybe spark them to win the series. But when you have the top of your order going 1 for 11 in Game 1, 1 for 10 in Game 2, and 1 for 14 in Game 3, and those are the three games you lose, and you get good starting pitching there, you get somewhat solid relief there, like that's clearly the problem in all of this. And there were chances for the top of that lineup to win games, like in Game 2 when they make the comeback in the ninth inning, and then Trey Turner's the one who's up there. And then, you can make a lot of questionable calls by the manager as well in terms of bunting in that game and not letting Bryson Stott try to come through for you, a guy that's had a lot of good bat-to-ball skills over the course of his Phillies tenure and his career in Major League Baseball so far. So just a lot of things you can look back on and say, this is probably what led to the downfall of the Phillies in this series. And I just, at the end of the day, they've got to be able to be a little bit slump-proof in the postseason. So I think that's where the changes are probably going to get made. Again, I mentioned the Alec Boehm thing. It feels like every year we're talking about, is Alec Boehm going to be here or not? I don't know at this point, but he was the one who probably had the best series out of anybody, him and JT Realmuto at the plate. And I think Boehm got on, 8 times in a row through the middle of the game last night. So he had a good postseason, and he's someone where I think he's gotten a lot better defensively over the last few years, especially since that one night in 22 where he's the 3 errors versus the Mets. It seemed like that really turned his defensive career around. And I just don't know exactly where they go from here if they don't make some changes with this lineup. And Nick Castellanos feels like he's probably not here next year, and they'll be willing to pay a lot of money to get him off the team, which is certainly okay with me, even though it was funny because there's probably nobody struggling as much right now as Nick Castellanos in this lineup. Maybe Brandon Marsh, but nobody's struggling as much as Nick Castellanos, and then he's the one who ends up coming up with the big base hit last night, and then the one in Game 2 even to make that almost comeback in the ninth inning. So I still think he's probably gone next year. It just seems like he got fed up with his role as the season went on, and hopefully if they can bring Harrison Bader back, you have somewhat of a picture of what your outfield looks like with Bader in center and Marsh in left, and maybe you sign somebody else in terms of a right fielder, and we'll see what the deal with Max Kepler is. Actually, given everything we said about Max Kepler in the first few months of the season, I actually didn't think he had too bad of a year, and he had a couple big knocks in the playoffs as well. So, played some solid defense out and left this year. So we'll see what they do on that front. I would assume he's probably not with the team next year, and they're gonna prioritize re-signing Schwarber, re-signing JT. Maybe bringing Bader back because, I think there was 30-some mutual options last year, which Harrison Bader and the Phillies have a mutual option of $10 million this offseason. I think there were 30-some mutual options in all of baseball last year, and none of them got picked up. So
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He will be headed to free agency for sure, and hopefully the Phillies can bring him back because, he battled through that injury, which just really kind of turned this series in a way where, the Phillies lost a step defensively, and losing the bat in the lineup definitely didn't help as well, especially with the lefties like in Game 2 when you face Blake Snell. So it's really tough, and I just hope he can be on the team next year because I really did enjoy watching Harrison Bader play. He's one of those guys where you love him if he's on your team and you hate him if he's not on your team. And you need some of those guys. And he brought a lot of fire to this lineup. And even, you know, when he was dealing with the groin or hamstring or whatever they were calling it, for him to be able to come up in game two and get a big knock and almost, you know, lead that comeback was pretty cool. And he's somebody who I'd love to see on my baseball team next year for sure. And hopefully they can find a way to bring him back, because, you know, for as much crap as we've given Dave Dombrowski over the past few years for his trade deadline acquisitions, can't say much more about what he was able to do in late July this year by bringing in Duran and bringing in Harrison Bader, covering up two holes that really I thought should have put this team in, you know, to the next stratosphere potentially, and allow them to, you know, make a real run at this thing. So it's tough. They played the Dodgers, and I still think they were a really talented team. But, you know, you got to win some of those series sometimes. In order to be the best, you have to beat the best. And the Phillies definitely took on a really, really good Dodger team. And like I said before, I don't think this was the Mets' loss last year. I think that they were two really good teams that the Phillies, you know, were in every single game and had a chance to win every game. But, you know, the Dodgers did the little things better than the Phillies in this series. They had better fundamentals. They fielded the baseball better. They had better at-bats at the end of games when they were needed. Obviously, you know, the Kirk ring play hurts and it was a mistake, but, you know, those are the type of mistakes to get you sent home in October. So that's kind of the deal with that. And I'll get to this rotation now because they just deserve a lot of praise, I think, for what they were able to do in this series. And even, you know, when Christopher Sanchez maybe didn't pitch his best baseball in game one, didn't exactly have the changeup command, he's able to battle through and give you 5 2/3 of, you know, really good baseball. And last night he was just dazzling. Like, he was incredible. Him and Glasnow, a true pitcher's duel. And the way that Christopher Sanchez has just been able to develop through his Phillies career so far, it is one of the best stories on the team, no doubt. A guy who, you know, came up, had no real control, then, you know, tried to bring his velocity down a little bit to get control, and then ends up putting it all together and is, you know, throwing 97, 98-mile-an-hour sinkers with maybe the best changeup in baseball. So just can't say enough about Christopher Sanchez, especially after Zach Wheeler goes down, for him to be able to step up and sort of be the ace that the staff needed. Just an unbelievable year from Christopher Sanchez, who's going to finish top three in Cy Young voting, which is just absolutely insane to think about considering where he started out. So awesome stuff from him. I mentioned how excited I am about Luzardo for next year. Just, I thought, a really, really good year, especially end of the year for Jesus Luzardo after, you know, he had some tough starts in the middle of the season. And then for him to, you know, figure out the stuff out of the stretch and with guys on base and really bear down and give you two really good outings in the postseason. Great stuff for Jesus Luzardo. And this will be great experience for him moving forward, hopefully. And then Ranger Suarez, like, might have seen him pitch his last game in a Phillies uniform. If I had to bet money, he's probably not back here next year. You would probably expect Andrew Painter, or would hope Andrew Painter is in the opening day rotation. And that sort of leaves Ranger as the odd man out. With Nola being back, obviously 5 more years on his contract, which, you know, it doesn't sound great, but I was proud of Nola for, you know, accepting his role in this postseason, giving them two really good innings in game three and helping them win a baseball game. Because, you know, we've seen in this town, especially, you know, with the Eagles, who lost last night themselves, just a terrible night in Philadelphia sports. But you've seen guys at the Eagles, you've seen guys on other teams and other sports, and even Nick Castellanos on the Phillies. Like, when they have their role reduced and they're a highly paid player and they don't like the way that, you know, they're being utilized, like, they're professional athletes. A lot of these guys will let their voice be heard and say, you know what, I don't like this, and I think that I should be, you know, in a different role and I should have a bigger role. But Aaron Nola took that in stride and gave them the best two innings that he could possibly ask for. And, you know, good for him, because that's what a real teammate does. And that's what somebody who, you know, wants to win and wants his team to win does. So good stuff from Nola there. I want to get to the bullpen real quick before just put a little wrap on this as we, you know, wrap up the season here. So Duran, they had such a great, they were in such great shape going into last night with Duran. The fact they didn't have to use him in game three was so massive. And then the plan was you go Sanchez for 7 innings and then you can go Duran for the last 2. I thought, you know, obviously he walks in the run, which was tough to see. I was totally fine with them intentionally walking Ohtani, by the way. I know Ohtani had a rough series and they really, you know, kept them at bay, but I just thought that was the right decision with the bases loaded. And then he walks in Mookie, which is tough because, man, Mookie is one of the hottest hitters on the planet right now, and then that makes it 1-1. But, again, if that strike three gets called a couple batters earlier for Chris Sanchez, we're probably not in that position. So, tough one, really tough. But I thought Duran, for the most part, and, you know, he only came in before last night for a couple of cleanup outings while the Phillies were losing. So, tough to kind of gauge what Duran's postseason was like, but I will say he did pitch relatively well last night, and when he got the clean inning, he was really good and got out of it quick, so that was good to see as well. Strom was tough. The homer in game one was really tough, and it just felt like a matchup that Teoscar Hernandez was going to take advantage of, and he ends up, you know, doing that by hitting the three-run homer, and that's sort of all she wrote in game one. And I just think that they're at a spot with him where the Jose Alvarado suspension really, really hurt them, because you wanted Strom to be that second lefty out of the pen instead of the first. And for him to be able, or for him to have to be the guy that is the first lefty out of the pen, and it's probably somebody he'd rather deploy in the sixth or the seventh inning instead of the eighth or ninth, I think that did end up hurting them in the end. And probably was a big reason why they felt such an urgency to trade for Joan Duran, because they needed all the bullpen arms that they could get, especially given the fact that they weren't going to have Alvarado for the postseason. So I thought last night he pitched really well, and for him to be able to go out there and, you know, protect that, you know, tie game and be able to get its extra innings was really good for Matt Strom. So the one thing I was a little confused about, and I understand why they went to Kirkering, because he's able to get the swing and miss a little more than, you know, David Robertson. But where was David Robertson last night? It felt like they went to Robertson in game one because they trusted him, and that was a big spot. And, you know, he's a 40-year-old veteran who's seen it all, and he's been to World Series before. I was a little surprised after the game, just thinking back at it, that they maybe didn't go to David Robertson in that spot, especially considering the magnitude of the moment there. But, again, it's going to be something that Kirkering learns from. He's just a kid, and it'll probably be the toughest moment of his career, and he's going to have to live with it for the entire offseason, which, again, is really, really a tough thing to kind of grasp if you're him. But I was a little confused overall with the, you know, the thinking there, just because I thought Robertson is just such a seasoned veteran that he's somebody that maybe would rise to the moment in that spot. And hey, you know, game one in 2022, you remember David Robertson ends up closing that one out. So I thought maybe it could be a similar thing. And the toughest thing about it too is, like, if the Phillies get out of that inning and they get to the top of the 12th, Blake Treinen's coming in, and he had struggled for so long towards the end of the season, and the Phillies almost come back in game two was off him as well. And I just thought that if they could have gotten through that inning, that was probably the chance that they had to start scoring runs. And, hey, who knows what the bottom of the 12th looks like. And, you know, David Robertson wasn't exactly lighting the world on fire, but I thought it would have been an interesting, you know, 12th inning, just because it felt like that probably would have been the best chance for the Phillies offense to get it going. But ultimately they didn't. And like I said, those top three guys came up very short. Other guys had tough series as well, like Brandon Marsh had a really, really tough series. And the bats just didn't do enough, and it just feels like that's a recurring theme. It's been a common theme for the past few postseason departures, and again, I just think that there are going to have to be some tweaks and changes made, whether that's, you know, signing Alex Bregman or bringing in somebody via trade or free agency, whether it's pivoting to Kyle Tucker instead of Kyle Schwarber. Like, they're going to have to make a change to this core and this roster a little bit, and it might be the end of an era. Like, I don't know. And it's something that is a scary thought, because just to wrap this all up and bring it full circle, I enjoy watching this team on a night-to-night basis. I enjoy the individuals on this team. And it's just a shame that it really had to end this way, because it did feel like it was a little different this year. And I just liked the way that they were playing heading into the postseason. And they took on a really tough Dodgers team, and, you know, they got beat, and it happens. So just tough overall to kind of, you know, swallow that today. And you got to wait till spring training next year now, and we'll do it all again, maybe next year, as they say. So that's going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Just want to seriously thank everybody for listening throughout the season. And, you know, we're still going to talk all offseason about this baseball team. And like I said, I'll be back here for spring training, for opening day, and there's nothing I enjoy more than watching and talking about Phillies baseball. So that won't change, and it's things, but, you know, time kind of heals all these things. And, you know, if you're down today like I am and a lot of people in the Delaware Valley are, just know that, you know, you're not alone, and it's, you know, part of being a fan here in Philadelphia is going through some of this stuff. So thank you again for tuning in, and for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein. See you, everybody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.